her friend Claire got a hold of me several weeks ago to set this up. And
well, now I got a question. Is this book out now?
Yes, it was came out last week.
Okay, so it's just brand new off the press.
Right.
What's a woman doing here anyway?
Right.
So what was a woman doing there anyway?
Well, she wasn't terribly welcomed by the male press corps.
Really? I mean...
Oh, truly.
I mean, it was like...
Absolutely, truly.
Like a sense of you've violated some kind of territorial imperative.
Absolutely.
Huh?
I was a journalist in the late 60s, so I knew... I'd been there, done that. I knew that part of the story very well. it was, you know, a male domain, and... it was very unusual to see a woman in a newsroom, any place. I was a first at a whole bunch of places. At the Newark Star-Ledger, I was the first woman on their copy desk. And a couple of places. In fact, it was a radio station that I sent a resume to after I already had some experience. And the guy sent me a letter saying, come in for an audition. Call in and make an appointment for an audition. I called to make an appointment, and he said, if you're a woman, lady, the deal's off.
Really?
Yeah, no, I know it's hard to believe at this point.
Because about that time was when radio started seeking women's voices, and there was a period of time when it was really advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with a couple of women, but... It was kind of all or nothing, you know, because it was before that there weren't any. And then somebody said, you know, we got to get some ladies in here.
Yeah, well, that's
should have tried again. Should have applied again.
Yeah. Well, I came in. I guess I got into the business right at the beginning because when I went to work at the Detroit Free Press, for example, they were recruiting women. When I went to work at Newsday on Long Island in New York. They had a suit against them because they didn't have enough women in executive positions. So then they recruited all around the country. And at that time, I was an assistant city editor in Detroit at the Detroit News. So I got my job at Newsday because I was a woman.
Yeah. Now, you're originally from Oklahoma, right?
I was born here,
yeah.
Born in Oklahoma City. My grandfather made the run. My father and all of his 9 brothers and sisters were all from here. But we moved to California when I was 10. I stayed in California when my family moved back to Texas, and then my family later came back to Oklahoma City. So my brother, who was younger, graduated from McGinnis High School in Oklahoma City, from Oklahoma State, undergraduate. He ran track at Oklahoma State, and then he went to OU Law School. But I never really lived here since I was 10, but when my mother was ill, I was here an awful lot of the time.
Well, now this is a novel, so it's
right.
Based upon things that you experienced and know, but it's a novel.
It's a novel.
Is this the first novel that you've written?
This is the first novel that I've written. I have since written.
How hard is it to write a novel? I mean, really, seriously, was it a year-long endeavor, or was it a years-long endeavor?
I spent about 30 years on it, 25 or 30 years.
See, because I think I've got a good novel, and I haven't made any progress at all. So I look at your full book, and I go, you know, this is nice.
Well, it definitely takes some focus and some discipline. My problem with the novel was not the research, not the knowledge about the press, because the novel is about the press, basically. Mm-hmm. It's not about the war. It's not about the military, really. Of course, since the press
the backdrop
is there.
Is there, sure.
But it's basically what life was like for the press corps. In a very short period of time. It takes place from October 1967 to June 1968. So it covers that period of the Tet Offensive, of the Siege of Quezon, During that period, a lot of things are going on in the U.S., and because they were reporters, they're talking about also what was going on back home. Martin Luther King was assassinated. Lyndon Johnson decided not to run again for president because of the protests against the Vietnam War. So the novel covers mm-hmm. that very short period of time pretty specifically, and it's a very interesting period in our history. And hands down, the novel is absolutely historically accurate. To get back to your question mm-hmm. of writing fiction, that was my difficulty with making it a novel. I was initially approaching it the way a reporter would. I'd take, for example, the Siege of Kisan and read all about that and write a wonderful chapter putting my reporter into that situation. It took me a long time to understand. I would get rejections on the novel repeatedly about saying, the setting's wonderful, the characters are wonderful, it's so believable, why don't you just write it as nonfiction since you lived through all this? So that was my problem in trying to teach myself how to write a novel. And finally, I went, after I'd rewritten the thing seven times trying to figure out what was wrong with my story, people would say it absolutely worked, it was wonderful, but the story doesn't work, and I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Well, so. Now, how is it you decided to do novel as opposed to doing a nonfiction? Or, you know, you've experienced this and write it that way. Was it, it just felt like it needed to be the way that this came out?
Yeah, I think I was expressing some of my own frustration as a woman assignment editor who had a bunch of aggressive young kids working for her, and they would, you know, resist the fact that they were having to take orders from a woman. And my ex-husband was had a column and worked at the other paper down the street, and I think I was just sort of trying to express my frustration, I guess. I don't know. You know, who knows exactly?
Yeah, where does it all come from?
Where does it all come from? But I think Vietnam was a much more interesting setting than suburban Detroit, you know? So that's why the novel got set in Vietnam, I guess. And also, you know, I didn't realize this until I started thinking about why I'd written, people asking me questions about why I'd written the book, and doing some research and Googling around, I found a story that I had written in 1966. At that time, I was working for the Yonkers Herald Statesman, and they sent me out, you know, as a young green reporter to cover, I guess, it's hard to believe, but it was the first officer or something like that killed in Vietnam. They sent me out to cover the story, and I came back and sort of wrote a barn burner, I guess. I mean, you know, I remember crying at the funeral and crying at the gravesite, and anyway, I found that story on the internet. I was just so flabbergasted on some veterans memorial site. I didn't remember the story. So who knows if that was someplace in my subconscious when I began to write it. I was working at Newsday in the op-ed page as an editor, when I ran across in the slush pile a book called Big Story that was 572 pages or something like that, and it was written on a grant by a former reporter, Peter Braestrup from the Washington Post, and he had set out basically to prove that the press had lost the war in Vietnam. So that's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was so wonderful about that book, it was just incredible research. It had, you know, I've still got that old map of 1968 Saigon, and it showed where the AP Bureau was and where the Continental Hotel was and where the New York Times was and where Reuters office was, where the embassy was. And it was almost handed to me.
There's a little background, huh?
Yeah.
Well, the book is The 5 O'Clock Follies, What's a Woman Doing Here Anyway? A novel of the press in Vietnam, and it's Thea Sutui, and it's available now.
Yes.
I was looking at some of the comments of people really like it. Action is riveting. The writing is clear. It's an engrossing portrait of a woman among men in wartime. And I was thinking about that. I guess up until that point, at least in that capacity, that had never happened. Not just in Vietnam, but in terms of American history.
No. That's what's amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
what's absolutely amazing, there were quite a few women correspondents during World War II. Why?
Oh, really?
When I ran into that, I meant to research it and sort of try to find out why that was true. The only thing I can guess was because the entire country was mobilized, and the women.
Okay, yeah.
There were Hemingway's wife, Martha Gellhorn, was there. Dickie Chappelle, who was later killed in Vietnam, and there's a picture of her. And in fact, What's a Woman Doing Here Anyway is from a title of a book that Dickie Chappelle wrote. So it went, Marguerite Higgins was in the Korean War.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah, it was very strange. The AP, for whom I worked at one point, did not assign a woman to their bureau in Saigon until 1972. So now, you know, my book starts in 1967. So my woman went over there as a freelancer. My character, Angela, mm-hmm. went over there as a freelancer. And the AP sent a woman over to do feature stories before they sent Edie Lederer in. But Edie Lederer did not go in as an assigned staffer in Saigon from the AP until 1972. So the few women that were there had gone on their own, had gone as freelancers. They just weren't assigning women there. But contrary, the AP had assigned, but they were all expected to do feature stories in World War II.
Years past. All right. Now, where can they get your book, The 5 O'Clock Follies?
Well, they're going to sell it at Hastings today. Well, they're going to sell it at Hastings. There's going to be a signing.
One to three. So you want the autographed copy? They need to come by 1 to 3 today.
They need to come to Hastings 1 to 3. Otherwise, they can get it at the bookstore. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it pretty much any way they want. If they're in Europe, they can get it too.
All right. Well, I hope it's wonderfully successful for you.
I do too. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Lots gone in that. Virgil?
Thank you, Eddie. And she will be at our DAV meeting tonight as our guest. And so if you want to meet her in person, all you veterans as DAV members, come out to your meeting. We'll be happy to feed you and introduce you. And
thank you.
And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Where's your next stop after here? Are you out on the road or?
We're going to Lawton tomorrow, and then we're going to the Tommy Franks Museum.
Oh, great!
On
you'll
Thursday.
Love that. You
a
that
luncheon
is
at the
wonderful
Tommy Franks
facility.
Museum on Thursday.
That's
and I think everyone's invited to that too.
You bet. Yeah, and Lawton also.
And Lawton, there's a signing in Lawton.
4 to 6.
4 to 6 at the Hastings Bookstore in Lawton.
That's tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then
TV show tomorrow night.
And then I'll be in Oklahoma City later in the week.
Sounds like they're going to keep you busy.
Yeah, well, and
that's a good thing.
I'm delighted to come here and be able to come back to Oklahoma and get some support. It's great.
Well,
it's really great.
Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank
thanks,
you.
Virgil. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Eddie.
Be sure and join us each Tuesday morning here on KWHW for our Veterans Affairs program.